This is CliffCentral.com.
People are thinking about holidays, and when you think about the holidays, you've got to think about whether or not your car is in a condition to take you somewhere without breaking down. Now, a lot of people, you go off, you buy a car, maybe it's first hand, maybe it's second hand, but you need to have the thing serviced, and that is a pain. Nobody goes, oh, I'm so excited, it's service day. You have to arrange a whole lot of things, make your day work around it. I've always had this problem because I wake up really early. And to have my car serviced, I then have to do the show and then drop it off after, and it usually takes an extra day. I mean, that's just how it works, right? This morning, I've got some good news for you. Because if you're planning on driving somewhere out of town this festive season, if you only commute a short distance to work and back each day, a summer holiday could be your longest trip of the year. And with the festive season being synonymous with a high rate of road deaths and injuries, you must make sure your vehicle is fit for journeys during the holidays. So I've realized this, and thanks to the team, and they got into contact with us and told us about this, at Land Rover Rustenburg. They are prioritizing their excellence in their work, customer convenience, and we're going to talk a little bit this morning about holiday vehicle checks and advice about servicing your car. Christo Henning's here from Land Rover Rustenburg to tell us more. Hey, Christo, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Having fun.
Good.
Really excited to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. I mean, yeah. I looked through the statistics the other day. We got like 80 people in Rustenburg who listen to us, but you're talking about people in all parts of South Africa, and particularly in Pretoria.
Yes.
And you guys have come up with a brilliant idea of saying to people, look, don't stress. We'll come and collect your car, service it in Rustenburg, bring it back.
Yes.
I mean, are you the only guys doing this?
Well, at this moment, it sounds like it.
Sounds amazing.
I'm quite excited to embark on this journey. I think the getting back to what you just said was, for you to have your car serviced,
yeah,
occupies time. It takes time.
Definitely.
Out of your schedule.
Yeah.
So the initial thinking was to, you know, how do we tick a box in your life whilst you carry on with what you have to do? Can we pick up your car? Can we drop the kids off at school? Can we do whatever?
Sure.
It's really just not about
this is brilliant, because
picking up the car, that's just the start of it.
When you think of a dealership like this, and you guys service cars, you sell cars, I mean, you're the dealer principal.
Yes.
So you're the guy who sells the most cars.
Yes.
So I'm interested. I want to talk about that too, because we know part of the economy not growing at the moment is people aren't buying enough cars and they aren't buying new cars.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that in a second. The holidays come, people are nervous. I mean, I hear anything funny going on in my car, and I immediately think, oh God, it's going to fall apart in any minute now. I'm going to be sitting on the side of the road. All my wheels will have fallen off. I get very paranoid about these things.
Now, driving on the freeway, and the undercarriage will stop, and you'll continue.
I don't want that to happen. But I always am very careful about getting my car serviced within that window, because if you don't, there are also, you know, the implications for when you try to sell it.
Yeah.
It costs more. It falls outside of the window period that service needs to have.
Yes.
You know, you got to look at things like tires and windscreens. And what are the most important things you guys look at?
Well, there's about 160 odd points that we look at.
Wow.
Yeah, getting the car on the lift is purely just the start of it. You know, it's really literally about every single thing working, you know, all the working,
sure,
parts. And then it needs to go onto our, obviously, these, as you would know, these vehicles are extremely sophisticated. So it goes onto our computer systems, and we run daily updates from the UK on those.
So it's diagnostic tests.
It's really taking a deep dive into your vehicle's health and making sure that that you are okay.
It's like a physical for a human being.
There we go.
I don't get plugged into a computer. I hope not, anyway. Not soon.
But what would they find, Gord?
Nothing good. Nothing good.
Nothing good.
Pirate software.
So, Christo, what are the most important things that you check? I mean, I know you say 160 things, but
yes,
what are the most important things that people are often negligent about? And when they don't go for a service, they think, oh, well, as long as I tick these boxes, everything's okay.
Yeah, Gareth, actually, it's quite shocking how people are just really not focused on stuff that's really just in your face, like tires and feathering of tires.
What is feathering?
Feathering is where your thread on the vehicle, on the tire, actually starts to point in a direction, and it breaks off tiny pieces of rubber. And that's mainly caused by running your tires too flat or too hard, and those kind of things. Wheel alignment should be set at least every 10,000 kilometers on any vehicle. Doesn't even matter what vehicle it is. In actual fact, the more you do it, the better.
Wow.
Tire care is something that the South African public, in my opinion, just really don't pay too much attention to, or enough attention to, really.
So when I go for a service for my car, I usually am just thrilled that it's clean afterwards.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
That's like the only time my car gets clean as well.
That's the biggest measurement, isn't it?
Well, it gives
me... If it looks good, it's working.
Yeah, all right, the guys did what they have to
do. It is amazing. I mean, you could take my car today, and you're going to. You're going to take it away to Rustenburg, and you could just clean the inside. And I would think, wow.
I'd believe you. Yeah, but there's room for scamming
it's
there.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. So what else do you look at? Tires are obviously a big thing. I mean, how do you even know if your engine, is that where you plug in the machines?
Yeah. And it goes through every single one of the components, electrical components, solenoids,
brakes,
valves,
are one area that brakes. I suppose people.
It goes through every single one of the electronic components and make sure that everything will work and function as it is supposed to. You know, the thing is with electronics these days is that small things can happen that can really, really cause a big problem.
Yeah.
So making sure in advance that all those things are intact and it works properly and the signals and the communication from the various components actually gets to the main box, the computer of the vehicle, is essential to make sure that everything is functional in the way it should.
This feeling of warmth and security, like hearing it described, it's like your tax return is all in order and your investments are on the up. Yeah. And like, right, you just got a physical and the dentist said you're fine.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'm like, I'll keep talking about this mythical situation where the car is so perfect.
But this sounds to me a lot like, you know, we've got this really stupid government and they weren't able to look after Eskom. They didn't maintain Eskom. So now we have not enough power. We have these load shedding situations because they didn't build enough power stations, new ones. They don't have enough coal supply. They basically have no idea how to maintain things. And this goes for cars. A lot of people are driving around on the roads with cars that are not roadworthy, that are dangerous to the rest of us. So you may look after your little piece of the world and your vehicle, but there are other people driving around who clearly don't give a damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just on my way here this morning. It was quite interesting, I must tell you.
Tell me.
I had this high ace, believe it or not, Ciaia, back in the day, coming past on the left-hand side, and that vehicle is clearly just not roadworthy.
Was it falling apart in front of your eyes?
The right front tire goes all
wobbles.
Wobbly. It's unreal.
Yeah.
The left side of the vehicle is on the pavement, the right side of the vehicle is on the tire.
Makes me crazy.
You've got to understand that some people have got
level, isn't it?
Some people are in an economic position where you've got to get the job done.
Yeah, but go.
But it's not to an extent, Gord, where you're putting other people's lives at risk.
You're transporting other people.
No,
they
got
don't
you.
Have a
I'm
say.
Agreeing with you. Yeah. I'm agreeing
Drives
with you. And neither
crazy.
Do the people in the cars around you. So I'm saying it's, you know, you've got to have a degree of empathy, like for those people who go miles past their service date or who run their tread possibly a little bit further. But once you can clearly see this thing is like dangerous, obviously, then you can't, no matter what, like there's no excuse for it.
Well, I've seen a number of cars where their lights don't work at all. At night, you're driving along and you just see them because your lights are on.
Yeah.
True.
Well, I mean, I went a long period. I can't say how long it was because I only found out at the end, but I went for a long period with my old beloved Polo that got stolen. And it got stolen having had it fully serviced and put new tires on it so I could drive it from Cape Town to Joburg. It got stolen 3 weeks later. Anyway, I didn't know that for ages my one rear brake light wasn't working. Someone eventually told me from driving behind me, and I was like, well.
You know, no one would know, mostly.
No one would.
So you got the lights. Let's look at the other things. The electronic systems, as you already said, there's a computer in most of these cars these days, particularly these Land Rovers.
Very advanced, yes.
Windows, wipers, wheels, tires, brakes, suspension.
I don't know how many people actually know that windscreens actually form a very, very integral part of a vehicle's structure.
Yeah,
it is not just an add-on. It actually forms part of the structure of the vehicle. Hence
It holds the thing together.
It holds it together. And it's a very big safety component as well. So chips and cracks on windscreens is really, it's a really big problem. It's not a small problem. Windows, electrical windows that's not working properly is a problem. vehicles that double lock, is not safe anymore. Purely because those doors actually get jammed.
Yeah, people can jam them with those, those jamming devices.
But as well as when those vehicles are in an accident, those doors just don't open.
And of course, we're not living in the 1980s anymore, where you could take a pair of pantyhose and use them as a belt.
As a fan belt. Yes, no, it doesn't work.
Remember those days?
No.
now all this stuff is so technologically advanced, you can't have it just fixed by some schmo on the side of the road.
I'm fascinated by this locking situation, because I don't know what level of doors I've got, and if they don't open in an accident, that's not good.
Yeah, look, most vehicles are designed to accommodate for eventualities like that. But vehicles in our country does not allow for double locking anymore, as they used to in the
really?
Past. Yes, even though they do come with a function of that, they don't enable it anymore.
Oh, really? Yeah. I wonder why would they not
purely
do that?
From a safety perspective, it is not the safest thing to do anymore. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know, for example, a friend of mine was saying the other day his aircon broke down, and in this heat.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
I cannot live. Even with load shedding at my house, my fan's not working. I was like, kill me now, please. I'm too physically large to fit in my fridge, and just kill me. That's it. I can't live with this anymore.
But this guy was saying, oh, he's got to get his... What do you do with an aircon? How do you service an aircon in a car?
Well, it's mostly gas related, if there would be a leakage of some sort.
Yeah.
But it's generally just filling up the gas and making sure that it's still in good nick.
All right. Then we've got the actual exhaust system. That's a whole other thing. The warning equipment. When those lights go on, you should be worried.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're malfunctioning, in which case you should also be worried.
Yeah. In general, when there's a light on, just worry.
Yeah.
Worry and phone the dealer.
Sure.
And people tend to it's fine, we'll get to the next stop on it, to the next filling station or to the garage or whatever the case may be. And most of the times that's actually where the problem comes in, because it really literally takes seconds for a vehicle to overheat and to really get into serious problems.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what the light means either. There's like different shaped lights, and then there's one that comes on that you've never seen before, and that's when I get totally terrified. I've never seen this light before. I don't know what the blue ninja star, what does it mean? The skull and crossbones can't be good.
Yeah, it's interesting how people differ. Some people buy a car because it's a nice car. It's a flashy car. It's got the power. It's got the look and the style. Other people buy cars because of its safety. Other people buy cars because of purely just performance
and reliability.
And then you get people that actually really, really go and study their owner's manual.
And they know the horsepower.
How interesting is that? When the phone rings and the customer says, "So I have read on page number 13 that this said vehicle has got the ability to auto clean its windscreen when when it's raining, but there was only a fly or a moth that flew, and then the wipers start." And then you need to know, okay, so page 13, paragraph.
So you have to know everything. Because they're going to be those geeks who know.
Yeah, and they want to prove they know more than you.
Everything. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Tell me, Christo, you're the dealer principal, so you sell all these cars. I mean, what have sales been like in 2018?
Sales are quite interesting at the moment. Obviously, there's all these negativity that we are being confronted with. Mm-hmm. But I think, by and large, if we clear away all the murkiness and all these other funny stuff that people tend to spend their time on, business is not bad.
Oh, really?
Business is not bad.
Tell me what the what is the most expensive car you sell?
About 2.5 million rand. Can go up to 3
sell
million.
Sell any of those this year?
No, we haven't. Oh. We haven't. But
I'll take one. It's only December, and I've still got time to make your year. Yes. Screw it. I feel bad. You deserve to do a 3 million.
Gordo, you got some extra cash?
I won't anymore after this. But just sign me up.
Well, let's just put.
I'll have to finance the last like 500k.
We can work with that.
It's amazing. I'm also curious, like, what's the secondhand market like at the moment?
Secondhand market also under pressure.
Yeah.
The vehicles that we do sell is more your premium kind of vehicle. I'm fortunate in the sense that I have Ford and Mazda, Volvo as part of my portfolio.
Wow, you got a lot of cars in this. It's not just Land Rover.
No. We don't just do the Land Rover.
No.
But Land Rover at this minute, that's where I'm focusing on, and that's where we want to get customers to almost relook at this proposition, relook at the brand.
God, I mean, you know what car I love? I drove it last year around this time. Is that Range Rover Velar?
Oh, I remember when you had that.
Jesus, that's a car.
Yeah, oh, that's an awesome motorbike.
I remember when you had that. You mentioned it a lot. Yeah, it was parked out front here quite often.
Yes.
Your discussion about the different models that you sell brought me to a question that I've been meaning to ask in the interview so far, which is which models does this service that you're talking about pertain to? What kind of cars are you willing to fetch and service?
At this moment, we will be only focusing on Land Rover, Range Rover, Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's purely to obviously offer that premium service.
Sure.
Listen, let's face it, we're talking about a completely different customer here. We're talking about a person that's really got other things to do other than worrying about their mode of transport and the maintenance
and,
of that.
They would appreciate a service like this.
And they've kind of paid for it. You know, like, they haven't paid for the service, but they've paid for premium bonuses in what they get with the...
Sure. And so here's what you do. If you want to experience this kind of customer convenience, then what you need to do is get hold of Land Rover Rustenburg, particularly if you're in Pretoria, Centurion, that kind of area, Hartbeespoort Dam, those kinds of areas, because, I mean, the people there, you've got a long way to go. So let them come and pick your car up. Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, that's the plan.
You pick it up, you service it, you bring it back.
That's what we do.
Same day. God, that's incredible. All right, so they are in Rustenburg, but you can call them at 01459 7630. That's 014-597-6300. Just take that number down on your phone now and give it a try. You might just save yourself an entire day of stress and having to worry about how do you get it there and how do you get it back, and what if my appointments, dropping the kids off in the morning, or all these other things are a problem. You need to get hold of these guys at Land Rover Rustenburg. That's 014-597-6300.
And presumably you're on the Google machine as well.
That's where we are.
Okay, so you can look them up, Land Rover Rustenburg, all right?
This is CliffCentral.com.